Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show. That was an episode. Did that find out like how you wanted it to, Adam? I'm curious.
I mean, I've learned through my many years of dungeon mastering that if you have a way you want things to go, you've made a terrible mistake.
Right.
So my job is really just to put the situation together and then just like let it happen. I mean, it's tricky because as we've seen with Court of Swords regularly, the higher level the characters are, the swingier something gets, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
The encounter that you were in technically was like way higher CR than you should have been able to handle, but D&D doesn't know the difference between a level 5 paladin and a level 5 barbarian when you're fighting undead. Had you had, and this is not a slight on Berg as a character or Max as a player, but had Berg been in the same place as Luther, right, if we had had a barbarian instead, y'all would have gotten fucked right up, right? Like,
yeah.
The kinds of characters that make up the party and like the synergy there, D&D's dungeon mastering stuff is just not capable of understanding or knowing that that's possible. The synergy between the stunning thing and being able to do radiant damage with the smites, having the boost from a bard, like all it knows is what level you are. It doesn't have the granularity to be able to tell what you're good at. And so at this point, I've pretty much just thrown out trying to balance the encounters. And I just build things that I think will be fun and maybe a challenge. But the risk there is that I have to be very careful because I can overdo it. I can be like, cool, right. Yeah, you see these enemies, and then, oh, shit, you are all dead. Oh, God.
Right.
But I kind of have to give up on that and just be like, this is what I think would be there. This is what makes sense and what would be fun to play with. And then it's on you not to die, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the encounter in terms of, like, funness or whatever was great because...
And that's all that, yeah, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah. Because when I first saw it, it was definitely like, oh, fuck, that's a lot of guys. And we're really far away from them. And I don't know how this is going to go because me and Ken can't really get close to him at all quickly. But it worked out. I think, like you were saying, Ken was able to do a lot of damage. As soon as we engaged the like big bad of the fight, though, Ken started getting fucked up, and I got real worried.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was hitting really hard, and you made both your saves on that con.
Consider that if the Wraith had crit, it would have been like 50 damage in one swing.
Right? Yeah.
Like, and again, it's that first level swinginess come back to haunt us in level 5, where either you're going to do fine or you're totally wrecked with very little space in between the two.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... yeah, tricky business in that regard.
I think, Dan, we kind of found a power combo with that with the stun and then you doing the divination rolls or whatever, so he just gets stunned. Like, that's...
that divination ability is, like, super powerful.
That's really fucking strong that you can just at will say, like, oh, he rolls this on it. But I guess that depends. You have to roll low to begin with, right, on your actual first two rolls?
Yeah, I have to roll 2 20s at the beginning of the day, and then... if they're great, that's great, but sometimes they'll just be terrible and I'll be like, ugh.
Yeah, it's a little less powerful if you have to do it before I roll. I have to be like, but also like with an 8, that's great, right? Because you, especially if I've made the roll and failed it, you can say, oh, this 8 would be enough to make this work. And then that last turn with the Wraith was just like free shots.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in terms of playing a monk, they're pretty good. There's not too much damage. I mean, some rounds, I guess I was doing like 30 damage if all the attack hits, but there's so many things that like the key points can do that it's hard to determine what to do each round because you only have like 5 resources in that pool. Whereas like with the paladin stuff that Ken was doing, you pretty much just do damage, right? Like those are spells, right? Those are spell slots with it. Or is that your channel divinity stuff, Ken?
No, I didn't use any of the channel divinity stuff. I was saving that just in case.
Okay.
But the smite takes up either a first or second level spell, and it just does damage. It's not a bonus action or anything. It just happens.
Okay, cool, cool. Dan, for you, we talked about your divination stuff. How's playing a wizard?
It was good this time because I was able to stay away out of trouble, but wizards are so squishy.
Yeah.
I only got 20 health and low AC, so yeah, they just... but yeah, I like playing a wizard. I love spells in this game. Spells are the thing I find the most fun, is how to cleverly use them. I have a lot of control spells, but I didn't get to use them in this fight.
Right. Yeah, I was definitely... I was kind of poking at the idea of, like you're saying, spells being fun to use with asking you if people can get trapped in that hut that you summoned, because I wanted to cast it on the guys in that building. I just didn't know how the spells work, so that's always fun. And then the RPing aspect of it. You said you've been wanting to do this character for a while, right?
Yeah, like a wizard that's like accidentally brilliant, but he's kind of stupid, but he just somehow, by because he's so lucky, he just finds the right way accidentally.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I made it so this character has a brother that's very similar. So if I ever want to play this kind of character again, I can play as his brother, which is his twin and very similar.
Nice.
That's such a classic D&D trick that like,
yeah,
my character died, I'm going to play my character's twin brother. Same cool spells. His name is Fred. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so good. That's some Dawn of Time level D&D shit.
Yeah.
We've been doing that since forever. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. RP wise, for me at least, I had a lot of fun on the episode. I thought everyone's character was super fun to interact with. And I realized what I was doing, but I feel bad after Ken brought it up. Like, you got leader upon pretty early on in the show, and that sucks for people that are kind of new to RPing with a different group. Fine.
That and the other part was like I couldn't decide. I was like, okay, is it gonna be? It seems like a serious campaign, and it's like, okay, I won't do a stupid voice for my guy. I'll be like he's got all this mental problems going on. I'll play it more serious, and then everybody's got like their voices they're doing. I'm like, okay, so like before Fight Luther and after Fight Luther, like two completely different guys.
Yeah, well, I've definitely been in that position before when it comes to RPing of like. A normal person's going to be sad here and act sad, but if you act sad in combat, you're going to die, and then it's just not fun for the rest of the party if you're like, well, I'm just going to sit here and be sad and not make any actions. So
exactly. And yeah. That's the other part. I was like, I'm just going to – it's going to be like when you first start your first game and you're trying to get your party together, and there's that one guy that won't just go with your party. He's like, oh, I'm sad. And kind of getting a little close to that, and I was like, okay, no, just got to – let's move this along.
Yeah,
I want to make a heartbreak roll.
Yeah, exactly. D&D doesn't really have any of that. Like, I think Adam's talked about this before at length, but in terms of the RPing stuff, it's so secondary to like the system in 5e that it's not really. Again, you can't just stay sad, right? Like that's why I ended up. That's why I slapped your character because I was thinking it would just be like, oh, okay, he's shocked back into. Potentially like becoming a leader.
Howdy, y'all. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Which sucks.
Fifth edition just definitely seems very streamlined dice rolling in combat. Yeah. Like
D&D, aside from like inspiration, which is like a lazy tacked on mechanism, D&D doesn't give a fuck if you roleplay or not. Not really. Like they assume it's a given. You're going to do it for fun, but there's nothing to incentivize you to do it really. Like, It's really very much about like all the other stuff, right? Your characters are good at killing shit and occasionally maybe trying to persuade or deceive people. But every group plays a little bit differently. And every campaign is a bit different. And I'm actually really glad that your character got put in a kind of like leadership role because it means that you can't hide, not saying you would, but you don't even have the opportunity to just kind of like hide at the back and be like, I'm just going along with these guys. It's like, nope. Tell me what you're doing. What's happening?
Yeah. Well, it took me a little bit to like find like next time it's gonna be better. This time I was like getting the feel for everyone and trying to get comfortable with it. But next time, and also, everyone's like, man, it's gonna be so hard. The deadly level stuff. And I was like, well, I can't just lead us into death.
Right.
Yeah. That stuff's always a little bit tricky. And you had the monumental task of. Without any prep, jumping onto a caster in 5th edition at level 5 with really no prep. So, first off, you did a great job.
Good work.
Yeah, it was fucking... That stuff's a nightmare, having done that before. And secondly, how'd you like Bard after playing a thief for 2 episodes or an episode or so?
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I like having all the spells. I like being able to stay at a distance and cast things. So... I think if I were going to do another character, I would probably be inclined to try Bard again because it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I like it. I also have like an attack, like a crossbow if I want to, but it's fun having spells.
Yeah. The other thing, I was going to mention this. I think with the crossbow feat, if you ever feel like wanting to do a lot of damage or we fight someone with a low armor class, I think you can take a -5 to your attack roll and then add on 10 damage if it hits.
That's sharpshooter.
Is that sharpshooter? Okay, so then for expert crossbows, that just ignore cover, and you can attack in melee range?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, there's something else about, like, ignoring the reloading.
That's the hand crossbow stuff, right?
No. Yeah,
normally with a crossbow, you can't do multi-attack with it because you have to reload it, but with the feat, you can.
Okay. All right. Cool.
But I still can't because of some reason.
Bards don't get multi-attack unless you go Valor at level 6.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, don't you have a similar spell to the Tiny Hut thing? Or did you not take that one?
No, you mentioned it, but then I didn't end up taking it.
Okay. Dan, do you know the difference between those two?
It's the same spell. Just bards and wizards get access to it.
Okay, gotcha.
Tiny Hut spell.
Cool. Then I guess we'll see what happens next episode. We got to go. Me and Anne are stealthing inside the town. I hope we didn't get screwed over there, but I really
want to be like, let's take a rest, please. Yeah. I don't have anything left.
Well, it sucks because like I opted to RP rather than taking the rest. The rest, obviously, mechanically, would give me key points back, which is like the bread and butter of the class. So if we get into a fight here, it's going to be really shitty for me because I could just do 3 attacks and that's it. But we'll see what happens, I guess. I don't know. I rolled a 26, so if Anne gets attacked, I'll just fucking run away.
Sorry.
Yeah, I gotta go. But yeah, any other comments or questions from the episode you guys want to bring up?
I have a question. On a short rest, do I get any of my spell slots back? Or is that just long rests?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. Some classes do. You can take like feats for it, but I don't think by default you do.
Okay. Cool.
I think Dan does, and that's about it.
Yeah, it's pretty much only wizards.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're more or less because their spells are special.
Yeah.
What do you get all your spells back, Dan, or just some?
You get half your level rounded up, so I got another third spell slot back. So from that short rest.
Cool. Oh, they reset though, on my spell sheet. They like reset themselves automatically. I just opened it back up and they reset.
You just have to keep track of it manually, like how many first level spells you have casted, how many second level spells, etc. It doesn't automatically track how many spells you have.
No, I mean I use the little where it says 4. I use the arrow to turn it to down each time I used it, and I closed out of roll 20, and then I came back to it, and it had reset to 4.
Oh, must be something on the character sheet.
Just this in your head, add up all the spells you did, just how many times you did them, and try to get a guess.
Yeah,
it's not the end of the world if you're like 1 or 2 off, you know.
I don't have any left. Use them all on smites that did crap damage. Yeah,
they did
okay damage. They added up.
Yeah. 3d8's not bad. It's really good. But if you cast a fourth level, a second level spell slot, it's actually 4d8 against an undead because you get an extra d8 for every spell level you spend.
Yeah. Oh, so, add one more.
So yeah, you could have done more damage in that.
I thought you did a 4d8 on one of them. Didn't you do a 4d8 on the whatever the big creature was?
It was 3.
You get plus one, but you get 2d8
at a second.
You get 2d8 just for the spell, and then you get 1 for being undead. And then I did second level, so I just added 1 more.
Okay,
so I did 4d8.
Yeah,
that's right.
Also, Adam? What was that creature? The big guy.
Which?
The big the guy that took up 4 squares. Whatever his
name. The ogre zombie.
Oh, he's an ogre zombie.
He's just an ogre zombie. Okay. The only his special thing
undead
was,
toughness.
Yeah, his special thing was he has to make a con save to see if he just regenerates.
Yeah, unless you crit him or you do radiant damage, he just makes a save, and the difficulty of the save is DC 5 plus the amount of damage he took. And if he succeeds, he just drops to 1 and doesn't actually die. And so you just keep doing that until he dies for real.
Cool.
God. Cool. The last guy hit me for like 27. I was like, I'm dead, guys. It's over.
Yeah.
Thank God
without
for that stun.
Without that stun, you would have been screwed.
Yeah. Thank God for that stun. And then I guess the last question I have for Ken, have you played in 5e campaigns, right? Or have you only DM'd them?
I've played in some. Okay. Most of the groups that we played in for 5D, they didn't last that long. So we only get like a couple of games in, and people couldn't make it for whatever reason. So it's not super extensive.
What was it in terms of like playing versus DMing it? How was that experience? Like, was Adam throwing things on the board and you're like, all right, I know what that is, but I can't know what that is. Yeah.
Well, like Dan's tiny hood. I was like, I know what this is, but do I know what this is?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
that I like the fact that like there's a lot more like if a critical or like what does your spell look like? I just always kind of defaulted to like, okay, it kind of looks like this in every situation. So I kind of like that. That was nice. And then like I critically failed the religion check. It's like, why don't you know this?
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a thing that I like doing when I GM is I just ask a ton of questions because I figure the players rather than just tell them everything. I like hearing, you know, things like that. Like, yeah, why did your character fail? You'd think this would be a thing you might know.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So that I was like, whoa, that's neat. I like that.
Is that something?
Cool. I'm glad you're digging it.
Yeah. Like, I guess when it comes to GMing, I'll probably definitely pull that into stuff when I GM just because I've been in so many games with Adam that I feel like that's a normal thing to ask why. But for someone like you're saying that's never done that, is that something you would necessarily pull into some of your campaigns in terms of learning from other DMs?
I'd have to try it out, you know, especially depending on the situation. I may not do it as much. I probably won't do it as much because the guys I play
explain
with,
to me why them, you just died. Can you explain that to me?
Because like, he rolled it.
It was a fucking low roll, you asshole. Yeah.
Like in my group, we got like half the people have. They're pretty familiar with D&D. They played it for a while. And the other half are the people that were like, D&D's for nerds. I don't want to play that. And then we finally get them to play one. And they're like, oh, I got to buy a book. I got to play all the time.
That's so awesome. That's
right. I got this crazy mix. And I try to keep it as simple for them as I can. But, yeah. I like to put them in political situations more than anything because they really mess that up.
Do you impose any like homebrew rules on your campaign? Or is it mostly by the book?
I try to keep it by the book. Okay. And if it's something I don't know and they can just show it to me in a book, then I'm like, yeah, sure, go for it, whatever.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that's one thing I kind of, it would be interesting to play around the table and like have a book rather than most of the time, like, I think when people come on this show, they'll either ask Adam or just assume whatever they're going to do is okay unless they hear otherwise from like chat. But then I feel like when you're playing with just like friends or whatever, you're not trying to necessarily entertain a group. So you want to make sure you get it right every single time, if that makes sense. And having never actually played, I guess that one game we played in Colorado was the only one, played a game not streamed of D&D. I don't know what that experience is like trying to find the actual rule.
Sure.
So I don't, it might be kind of fun.
Slow. It's like, get your book out. Okay. What page is it on? And then 30 minutes later.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I wouldn't like, I don't know. Maybe I'd get upset if we couldn't figure the rule out that quick.
Yeah. After it happens a couple of times, then you're like, okay, you're not doing that anymore. Just move on.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Well, cool. I think we're good then. We'll be back next week and hopefully we make it through there alive. Although I think we're going to get another encounter right away when we get into the town. So we'll see.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah. That's it. Thanks everyone once again for all your support, and we'll see you guys next week on Court of Swords. We're out. Bye-bye.